kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole's here. How are you doing?
I am out of sorts because we're doing this shit early, and I haven't had time to properly think of any kind of nice segues or contemplate
life. Think we have segues?
All I'm focused on is, like, excuse me, I've got the hiccups. I just finished eating Pop-Tart. I need a burp, and I'm trying not to be rude.
I told you last time, just let it out.
I know it, but now that I've mentioned it, it's just like, no, we're just going to hang out here between your lungs and get pumped. So I'll be sitting here struggling with a burp for the next 2 hours. Let's go.
On the opposite side, I have a brutal headache, so I'm about to take some pills live on the show.
You're getting tipsy.
I got
terms of service violation.
My Equate brand headache relief medicine. Thank you, Walmart.
Not sponsored.
Oh, my Lord. So how are you? How's your week going? I feel like shit.
I'm decidedly okay. There's a big giant Saharan dust cloud crossing the ocean that's like fucking up shit for everybody. So my allergies are just a hot mess.
Nice.
And if I'm like sneezy or my voice gets raspy, it's probably because somebody opened a door. Nah. Because that shit is fucking with me. We're not even supposed to be properly hit with it till Friday. We'll record this shit on Thursday. If you're listening after the fact, I don't know why. But
it's okay. No one's in our chat right now anyway. They're like 8:30. What the fuck is going on here?
They're going to start like showing up at 9 and be like, the fuck y'all doing?
We're
like,
you guys are done?
What's wrong with y'all? But
Dark Meek is going to show up at 11 o'clock. Nothing's going to be going on.
Tomorrow's, the actual like storm part of the dust storm supposed to hit us. And then it's bad enough. Studa is very into like meteorology, and he's always like telling me the weather coming up for us and stuff like that. And like he sent me a message earlier today. He was like, "Don't go outside at all." And that's just all it said. I was like, "Aye aye, Captain," because I don't got to be told twice.
Aye aye, Captain.
I ain't dumb.
I am.
Yeah. He was like, "Don't go outside at all." I was like, "Cool. See ya." Parking it right here. And so that's my plan, is to stay right here and like give everybody the evil eye if they open the door. Because the really bad part of the storm is the dust storm is supposed to hit tomorrow. And even just from the little bit that's floating around, my nose is bothering me, my eyes are dry and giddy, and like my voice gets raspy. And if I've been outside, like I've made the mistake and went out and fed the chickens earlier, and I was like, and I come back in, and I'm like, never again.
This was a mistake.
Yeah. So, and then after that point, Sue was like, don't go outside at all. I was like, well, I could have used that message about an hour ago. Cool. I guess I got up earlier than he was expecting today or something. I don't know. But he was a little late on the draw. So I'm just like, I got extra pop here tonight in case I get dry mouth while we're doing this shit, because it's fucking dust everywhere from Sahara. Nice. Can't wait to see what kind of germs that brings in.
All of them.
Yeah. You know that there's like there's going to be some kind of wild spore from one rogue giraffe's poop that's gonna start the zombie apocalypse and be done with it.
We're already there. I'm not worried about it.
We're at least halfway.
I love how the country, our stupid dipshit country, led by our stupid dipshit alleged president, thinks the country's back to normal. Like, everything's opening again. People are going back to normal. No one's wearing masks that I see. Like, are you fuckers stupid? You know it didn't go away, right?
I am genuinely terrified for the school season coming up. And I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I can't pull number one out of public school or she loses all the programs that she enjoys. No. The program that lets her take college courses for half the day. The program Upward Bound. She's not eligible for those if she's homeschooled.
No. Well, just make sure she wears a mask at all times.
It broke my heart because I was on Etsy shopping for toddler masks. Because number three, she's seven, but she's tiny. She only weighs like 48 pounds.
Jeez.
She's just a small little bean of a kid. And she's tall. She's stupid tall, but she doesn't weigh for shit. She's like her dad in so many ways. My sister has been making masks, and she sent a couple, and like they were way too big, even though they were the kid size. And I was like, I had to go on Etsy and find toddler masks and order them in case she has to go back to school.
Damn.
And I'm terrified of the thought of it. They're terrified of it. My best bet might just be homeschool the two little ones and hope they let me do some kind of hybrid system with number one. Dude, she takes band. How the fuck are they going to have band?
No clue.
Think of all the spit that flies in band.
Yeah, seriously. Or sports. What are they going to do with kids' sports?
And they posted a thing the other night that, her first game will be against this school on August 21st. And I'm like, you fucking idiots.
Like, this shit's just going to explode and people think it's going away. It hasn't gotten better at all. Like, we're not seeing wave two. This is still wave one.
Mm-hmm.
Because
wasn't it a couple days ago where I was like, our counties had 5 cases total?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yesterday there was a new one.
Nice.
Opened my damn mouth, didn't I?
Yeah. That'll teach you.
How dare I think?
How dare you think at all?
Anything nice. Ugh.
No, you could have stopped at think. How dare you think?
I could have. You're right.
Yeah. Anyway, Vidya Games, there's some news that we should get to this week.
A little bit.
Games with Gold for July were announced, and it's another month of mediocrity.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard of the Games with Gold for July.
Well, so you're not going to jump for joy, I'll tell you that now.
Okay.
Xbox One for the whole month is going to be WRC8 FIA World Rally Championship 8, so not bad, but it's yet another racing game. Like, do we need more racing games?
Okay.
Yeah.
No.
And then coming in at the middle of the month is a brand new game. So I am down for this one. I don't think you'll be because it's called Dunk Lords. It's a basketball game. But it's a brand new game.
It is. But sports and races.
You could try them. They'll be free.
False.
Yeah. On 360 for the first half of the month, Saints Row 2. Solid game.
I think I own that already.
I do, but it's still a solid game.
It is. It's fine.
And then second half of the month is Juju, which I'm not too familiar with, but I think it's like a cutesy platformer.
Oh, might play it.
It's not an awful month. It's just,
Yeah.
No word on what PlayStation is going to be. I'm sure we'll talk about that next week on the show. Everyone's saying Games with Gold sucks because everything's going to Game Pass. And it might be true because a couple of games are coming to Game Pass this week. This week alone, we got 4 new additions to Game Pass.
Okay.
Nightcall, Streets of Rogue, The Messenger, and Observation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, are all those live now or are some of them just coming out?
They're live.
They're all live.
Yep.
I got some installing to do.
And the best part is Nightcall, Observation, and The Messenger are all launches direct to Game Pass.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I was really surprised it took The Messenger so long to come to Xbox because it's been on Windows 10, Windows 10 Game Pass even, with Xbox Live achievements, but not on Xbox.
Yeah, there it's like that with a couple Devolver games. So hopefully this so means weird. We'll see more Devolver games coming.
Yeah, I'm always glad when they do come.
Yeah. Some sad news in the world of gaming.
Okay.
Microsoft is killing Mixer.
Wow, did this shit hit the fan really fast. So the night before the announcement that Mixer was going tits up, there was quite a bit of drama. And I've got to say, a little bit of it, I found some gallows humor involved. There was some issues where a former Mixer employee had said that a supervisor had made racist comments, which is horrible. I read the thing. I was genuinely shocked it wasn't worse. That's where 2020 has left me, where I've read it and I go, that wasn't as bad as I was expecting. It still sucks, but it's not as bad as I was expecting. But it was bad. And when I say that I found a little bit of gallows humor, what I mean is there were a lot of Mixer partners who had decided they were going to black out their streams and not stream on Mixer until there was some kind of apology or whatever. And then the next, the best thing was one person was like, oh, I bet you'll be back live by the end of the week. And then literally the next day, Mixer's tits up, everything is shutting down. Sayonara, fuckers. They're out.
Yeah. Microsoft is killing Mixer. They're going to be partnering with Facebook Gaming to put any fears at ease. They said that there will not be any kind of integrated Facebook app that you are required to have on your console. There won't be any required Facebook logins. People are freaking out thinking that Facebook is taking over Xbox.
And it seemed to me that mostly what the whole integration revolved around was, if you were a Mixer partner and you went to Facebook Gaming, you got to keep your partner status on Facebook Gaming, but you had to, of course, rebuild your community with your they were hoping people would bring their subs and what have you with them.
Yeah, which they're not going to. Nobody's going to Facebook.
Not willingly.
There's going to be a handful of people who are like, yeah, I'm going to try Facebook Gaming instead of going back over to Twitch. It's not going to work out for you folks. Twitch is the monopoly. There's no way around it. I thought Mixer could have been a possible second possibility, second option for people out there. And Microsoft, they Microsofted it and they gave up on it. And they're almost as good as Google at getting things and dropping them.
They are both bad for it.
Yeah.
I wasn't particularly surprised that it happened. I had been, my disgustingly optimistic side was overtaking things. And I was like, no, it's going to be fine. They're not going to shut it down. And realistically, I think it was more, I didn't want them to, because we need Twitch to have some sort of legit competition, and Mixer really was the closest that we had.
Yeah. Mixer and Beam are why Twitch's delay is so low now.
It is. They came out with the FTL technology and Twitch had to, you know, step it up and do something. You got channel points that you can now use to torment, you know, your favorite streamers with. That's because of Sparks on Mixer.
Yeah.
They integrated a lot of things that even just under the hood that made Mixer a good place for a community.
Yeah.
Without people even realizing that's exactly what they were doing. But, I mean, Mixer had the Mixplay interactivity and Twitch has the extensions that you can add on the back end. So,
Lightspeed, I'm surprised they haven't shut down Bing Rewards yet. You shut your whore mouth. Don't you dare give them any ideas.
Lightspeed's sole income is Bing Rewards at this point in his life. I made him lose a streak of like 500 some odd days the other day because we were playing Call of Duty and he forgot to do his Bing Rewards.
Wow.
I don't think he'll ever forgive me.
How dare you?
Yeah, he was like, I actually had fun in a game, and look what I got out of it.
I think the longest streak I ever had doing the daily stuff is like 10 days.
I just forget it.
I don't care enough. I'll do the weekly ones on the Xbox app, but aside from that, I don't know. I don't care,
and I still just forget.
I don't like the questionnaires and the trivia bullshit. It's like, I don't want to pick 7 answers from 10 choices. And it's just, no, never mind. I'll just search but on
Mixer
something else.
Mixer is gone.
Yeah, Mixer's dead. July 22nd is the end date for Mixer. From there, people are going to have to either go back to Twitch or jump over to Facebook Gaming. But yes. Mixer is going to be gone. Adios, farewell.
If you had
farewell.
A subscription, it has no more auto-renew for subscriptions. They were just... I actually had a subscription that was set to renew on the 22nd.
Oh, wow.
To the one Mixer streamer that...
Oh, yeah. No more Mixpots. That's sad.
Yeah. No more Mixpots. There's a lot that...
No
that,
more Forza Horizon t-shirts.
But there's actually a lot that under the hood. And I think the way they handled it with the employees was really, really sad, because they said they didn't find out until like 20 minutes before everybody else did.
Yeah. And there were a lot of streamers who didn't find out until people in their chat told them.
Yeah.
Because there's people live on stream doing what they do, and people just pop into chat like, hey, Mixer's shutting down. And they're like, oh, huh?
Yeah.
When, why, how, questions?
The thing that's scary about it, too, is that with Mixer having Microsoft throwing their money behind them, granted, they could have put a little more effort in there, but if other companies think about starting up streaming services, they're going to look at what happened at the postmortem of Mixer, and they're going to say, if Microsoft couldn't take on Twitch, what the fuck makes us think we can?
Yeah.
And that's going to stifle innovation and creativity and change that we very desperately need in streaming. So it's going to have a ripple effect that lasts for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, well. There is more news, some brighter news, some happier news.
We need happy news. Happiness.
Crash Bandicoot's coming back.
Yay! No attachment to Crash Bandicoot.
None at all? You've never played any of the Crash games?
Nope.
Oh, you're missing out. Platforming.
I don't know. I've seen some screenshots of what the old ones look like. I don't know if you can go all that far.
Well, the first 3 games were fantastic.
They don't age well.
No, that's why they remade them in the Crash Remake Collection.
Oh, but I didn't play that.
Well, then you should.
I didn't play that because Spyro is better.
Probably, yeah. That was the war back then. Which is better, Spyro or Crash? They were the two big dogs. But yeah, Crash Bandicoot 4, It's About Time was announced for Xbox One and PS4, set to release this fall. So, new Crash Bandicoot game. Yay!
Yeah!
Min Min from ARMS was announced as the next character coming to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. She will be coming June 29th, and it will also feature the Spring Stadium stage and 18 music tracks from the game ARMS. It will cost $6 for the package, or you could get the Fighter Pass, which includes Min Min and 5 more fighters for $30. So I'm going to have to pick up that Fighter Pass next week. There will also be some new Mii Fighter costumes, including Ninjara from ARMS, Heihachi from Tekken, Callie and Marie from Splatoon, and the fucking Vault Boy from Fallout.
Oh.
I'm probably going to drop the dollar on that Vault Boy costume.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, guaranteed, granted, it's just a costume that your Mii Fighter can wear, but it's still cool to be Vault Boy.
It is still cool.
I'm going to be Vault Boy. So.
Yeah.
Yay. CI Games have announced that Sniper Ghost Warrior Contracts 2 is coming this fall to Xbox One, PS4, and PC. So Sniper fans have some more stuff to look forward to.
Okay. I do enjoy Sniper Ghost Warrior. They did us dirty on the one launch. They tried to fix it, and the game was fun.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they want to throw another Sniper Ghost Warrior at me, I'm not gonna say no.
Sniping people's always fun.
I really enjoy just sitting up on a fucking hillside somewhere and picking people off.
Good stuff.
But in games, not in real life. Yeah. Please don't put me on another watch list.
How many are you on now?
Probably a few.
Yeah. Should we talk some acquisition news?
What got acquired?
There's been a couple acquiredments. Deck 13, the studio behind The Surge and Lords of the Fallen, have been acquired by Focus Home Interactive.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a good home. They've worked with Focus Home on their releases, so that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So Deck 13, they now have a new mommy and daddy in Focus Home Interactive. Ready at Dawn, the creators of The Order 1886 and Deformers, as well as a number of PSP and Vita Sony titles, have been acquired by not Sony, which a lot of people were expecting, but Facebook.
They were the Deformers dev?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When I saw this news, I was like, the fuck devs are that? I've heard them before. And I went looking up and I found Order 1886. They have scrubbed Deformers from the internet.
Yeah, they have.
In every way possible. I was like, nothing mentioned them as the Deformers dev. And then you said it and I was like, oh, that was where I knew them from.
Yep. Hey, I can never forget Deformers because I still have the goddamn collector's edition sitting down there, right the fuck down there, next to my Duke Nukem Forever collector edition. Oh, I have regrets, as you can tell.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Well, the sad thing is Deformers was legitimately fun. It was an enjoyable game. They just gave up on it.
Yes.
Dark Mika, Joe looks different. No shit, you weren't here on Tuesday, were you? I shaved it and cut my hair. Last bit of acquisition news is that Bloober Team is reportedly in talks with a number of outlets about an acquisition. It was said that 12 studios were originally interested, but it's been whittled down to 6, including apparently 3 from the States. A lot of people are wondering if this is going to be another Microsoft acquisition.
I hope so. I hope so. I would be over the moon if Bloober Team had Microsoft money thrown at them. I would. I love Bloober Team, and I really want to see them shine, and I think a little bit of Daddy Warbucks' bank account could help them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe the medium is something that's going to be bankrolled completely by Xbox, and we'll see how that handles on the Series X, and maybe Bloober Team will be part of the Microsoft family.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be. You know what else is awesome? The fact that this is officially the final episode of the show that I am recording on my old PC.
You know what I have to do for old time's sake, right? I'm going to have to slow the PC down.
Oh, no.
I need to do it. Oh, it's required. Just to like give it one good final send off.
A final farewell of dropping bits. Well then chop because we got shit to do, so drop your goddamn bitties and let's get this over with.
The dogs are barking, so David must be home.
The dogs are barking, bits are dropping. Dark Mika says 10,000 bitties one at a time. Yeah. That would be amazing. 45 biddies dropping down. Thank you, Cole. Norg, take it away.
Dropping bits!
There's another 45 dropping bits. George.
Dropping bits!
Yeah, now it's starting to slow down. 9 more. Why not?
Dropping bits! I got one more
rogue
one.
Rogue biddy. I mismathed.
And then one more.
Dropping bits!
That's a whole lot of Norg. That is a whole lot of Norg.
No, my Pride Biddy. Come back, Pride Biddy.
The Pride Biddy missed. But thank you for the biddies. Okay. That was what, a buck? Thanks for the buck.
Now what are we going to use the bit money for?
I don't know. I'm wondering if I should just leave it to Biddy to refitty my shitty compitty just because it works well.
But then you don't have a shitty compitty anymore.
True, but Ashley will have the shitty compitty, and we could always refitty my wife's shitty compitty.
Yes. Might have to go in there and change it to that.
I'll just instead of changing it, I'll just take text and put Ashley over my. Oh, yeah. But that's the news. Any news you want to talk about? Or should we just dive into the reviews and get this over with?
No, we can just dive in. Let's go.
Cool. First game that we're going to talk about is a preview of the game The Waylanders, developed and published by Gato Studio, released June 16th on Steam Early Access for $34.99. The Waylanders is a classic party-based RPG featuring some of the top talents who brought well-known titles within the genre like the Dragon Age, Mass Effect, and Pillars of Eternity sagas. Cole, what is The Waylanders?
So, The Waylanders is an RPG. It's an action-adventure. It's 3D. It is in very early alpha stages at this time.
Yeah.
And so
that's why this is a preview.
As I played it, there were a lot of different elements that weren't even in the game that they have planned for in the future. Shortly after I started playing it, it got the character creator. And so I had to go back, start over, and make a character and create it the way I wanted it rather than just playing with what was there. So I haven't played Dragon Age. I've seen a lot of people compare it to Dragon Age. I haven't played that one, so I can't compare it to that. It reminds me very much of the Elder Scrolls Online, though. Now, that one I have played some of, and when you're creating your character, you can choose male, female. There's actually a lot of progressive options. You can choose to have a male body and a female voice. You can have a female body and a male voice. I don't give a fuck. You want to be a he? You can be a he. You want to be a she? You can be a she. You want to be a they? You can do that too. And it doesn't give a fuck which body you picked. It's just, hey, pick your pronoun, pick your name, pick your voice. Make yourself look how you want to look, and then you pick your race and your backstory and all of that. It's there. I was surprised, especially as I got more into the game and realized the kind of things that were missing from the alpha build. I was surprised how much effort had gone into the character creator alone, and it gives me a good feeling that the devs are really involved in the game and really want to see all of their ideas come to fruition and fleshed out and make a real world you can get lost in. I'm ignoring Aki's comment, but the answer is you cannot. You have boobs. You can see boobs, but you can't see a dick.
There's no wang.
If you choose to have a character with breasts, regardless of their gender, obviously, but I was surprised at how much nudity there was. It's kind of cartoonish. It has a bit of like a Fortnite aesthetic to it. Fortnite, Dauntless. It looks, if you had told me it was made by Epic Games, I would have been, oh yeah, that works. That sounds legit. Cause it's just got that same kind of art style. That said, the world that they've built up is surprisingly fleshed out for what's there. Like I said, there are cutscenes that are missing and things like that, though. So there's things that you're going to miss out on if you decide to play it in the alpha stages. But what is there is a really solid foundation. That said, obviously, it being alpha, there are issues, and you know that if you're picking it up in this stage. I like how my daughter just texted me, Dante is outside barking, while I'm like, yes, I can hear him. He wants in.
That is new information that none of our listeners could have known.
Yeah, he needs to go to the other door. So, There, I'm going to send her a text. So tell her to text Dad. That's his problem right now, not mine. His dad's problem. But yeah, the world is, it's got good building blocks. But I will say, it asks you if you want the tutorial for how to play, and theoretically you're like, yeah, that should be one of the first things you guys put into the alpha, to tell people how to, what to do with your shit. The tutorial doesn't tell you anything about the actual combat though. And I had, when I would get into combat, I would just sit there and be overwhelmed because the actual combat system is super complicated. I was playing with my controller, and you have to like set up all these different shortcuts and things, and it's like I couldn't figure it out to save myself until I eventually just learned to mash A to hit things with a spear enough to get by. So there's clearly still plenty of room for work to go into the game, but at least what's there is a good start. I do want to say that if you're thinking about picking it up, you need to think about how willing you are to be to give feedback and to really be on the ground floor of a game like this. And if you're going to be upset that your character just goes kaput and you don't know what to do about it, that's something you need to think of, because you could theoretically put a lot of time into the game only for things to go out the window because they changed something because it's alpha. So that's something you definitely need to take into consideration before picking up Waylanders. But if you're okay knowing that the game you download today may not be the game you have on full release, and you're willing to put in that feedback and be a part of the community that helps grow it, then it, and action RPGs are something that you're genuinely, in love with and want to be a part of, and you're going to be putting that time commitment in, then it's a great starting point. But if you're just going to pick it up and be like, I don't know if I like this, then you're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, if you're looking at an early access game, you should know that that's what you're getting into.
You would be surprised, Joe. There are plenty of
people.
That's
why I said you should.
I've played early access games, though, that come into early access and are like beta 0.9 build. They're right there, ready to go. They just need, some bug squashing. But we're talking super early, just getting off the ground with Waylanders.
Yeah.
So, it could be a while before they hit 0.1, let alone 0.9.
Yeah.
And that's something to take into consideration.
Well, as it stands, is this something worth looking at for $35, or is this something where you should like sit on the sidelines and maybe wait for a couple of updates?
I'm going to go with keep an eye on it, but I did have some problems with like the game full on breaking. At one point I died and I couldn't respawn or anything. It was just stuck. And that's the kind of stuff that you need to be prepared for. So it's really more a case of how willing are you to put up with the bugs.
Yeah.
So I say keep an eye on it. I think there's some really great stuff with Waylanders, but it's got a long way to go, too.
Yeah. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called West of Dead, developed by Upstream Arcade, published by Raw Fury, released June 18th on Xbox One and PC for $19.99, coming in August to Switch and PS4. Descend into the grim and gritty world of Purgatory in this fast-paced cover shooter, which combines the fluidity of twin-stick controls and tactical cover usage. Dodge behind cover as you try to outgun your enemies in the unknown procedurally generated hunting grounds. Cole, what is West of Dead?
West of Dead is something I've been so fucking excited to play since last E3.
Yeah. I've been pumped for this one.
And when you were like, so I guess you want West of Dead, I was like, fucking yes. Because cover shooter, roguelike, Ron Perlman, super cool grungy or comic book art style. What's not to love? Well, there is one thing not to love. The game is hard as fuck.
Is it?
so hard. So, I bet I probably spent at least 2 hours with the game before I felt like I had a genuine foothold on how to play and what I was doing. And that's kind of surprising because, I play a fuck ton of shooters and roguelikes. Like, this should have just been a no-brainer. I should have just walked in and blew shit up and got out and been like, yeah, this is exactly what I'm doing. This is great. But it doesn't go as easily as you think it will. It is twin stick. So when you walk into a room where you have the combat mechanics, the camera will go to more of an, top down view. Whereas when you're just kind of wandering around, it kind of slides back down into an isometric lock. When it's in the top-down view, I will say that's a great way. When you figure that out, that's a great way to know you've cleared a room. If you're in a room and the camera is still in the top-down position, bitch, you ain't done. And if you think you're done and you act like you're done, you're dead. Point blank. Pay attention to your camera angle, and then you'll know how you're doing. That kind of stuff the game doesn't tell you in its tutorial phase. It's like, oh, take cover. Oh, shoot at shit. And you're like, okay, I can handle this. You know, it's a twin stick. You aim with one and you press, you know, press forward and pew pew and you're done. These things die. There are some hitches in that the different types of weapons, they have different fire rates. They have different reload times, they have different power dynamics. Some of them you can pick up that have different perks like bleed, or my favorite is the pistol that gets a critical hit on every fifth shot. I love that fucker. As soon as I pick it, oh, I'll throw my hands in the air, I'm spinning around, I'm like, fuck yeah, I got critical hits, baby. I get so tickled when I get something like that. You really have to pay attention and fuck with the weapons enough so that you're learning which ones you're going to actually be able to do well with. The whole premise of the game is that Ron Perlman's character has died, and he's floating around in purgatory. But purgatory's gotten a little backed up. There's a preacher. He ain't letting shit go to heaven or hell. Things have gone squirrely, and you need to go and figure out why everybody's backed up. Which I would love to like give you some kind of dynamic answer about, but I said it. This game is fucking hard. Okay, I'm easily at like the 20 plus hour mark, and I haven't made it past the third level yet.
Damn, it's like Dead Cells to hard. Me, where I've put in so much fucking time and I can't get anywhere. And yeah. It's the same with West of Dead. I've put in a ton of time and I've killed so much, I've done so much, and I feel like I've gotten nowhere.
It's definitely a matter of fucking around until you learn the types of weapons and things that you do best with. Mm-hmm. And learning and getting that muscle memory built in so that you can actually make progress. So I learned very quickly that I needed to abandon what I thought I knew and start looking for the cues and the signs to let me know now's a good time to move on, now's the time to hold back. I had to die a lot to learn that, oh, if I'm getting fucked up in a room, I'm not stuck in it. I can back up. I can go back to a room I've cleared and have more space to work with. Sometimes certain enemies are best fought in tiny dark corridors, or when you clear rooms out, you collect sin. You have to go to a witch between each level and purge your sins before you can go to the next level. When you purge those sins, she will put those points into permanent upgrades that unlock to change the game for you. So eventually I started paying attention to what I was unlocking rather than just kind of mindlessly dumping all my points toward trying to get the bigger flask. Cause I was like, yeah, that's a priority is health. But it turned out that health wasn't my priority and health wasn't what I needed to be throwing all my money into. I needed to throw it into the kind of power ups that I would get that would let me get a little further, even if it was just one or two extra rooms at a time.
Speaking of one, Trivium Champ just dropped 100 biddies, George.
Drop it, bits!
Thank you, Trivium Champ. Always appreciate it. Always good to see you in chat as well. Hope you're doing well tonight. Anyway, you were saying?
So, I learned that if instead of putting my sin into trying to get that ungodly priced flask, if I put 10, which I can get after one level, into, say, the lantern, now I don't have to dodge my way around to try to get to torches that I could light to stun the enemies. I can just throw a lantern and let it happen. And then all of a sudden, I've got a little more freedom to move around because there are some honking enemies that will not let you move. I will say, though, I have still not successfully beaten one certain boss. I've only just managed to get around him a few times. Sometimes you can just go, I'm not picking that fight. I'm out of here and go on. And that is the beauty of a roguelike that lets you choose your own path. I'm sure there's probably some really fantastic rewards for beating him. I ain't done it and I'm fine with it. I'll take my licks for that. But I've had an absolute blast. I even went so far as to stream it the other day. It is available on both Xbox and Windows 10. It has achievements on both, and it is on Game Pass for both.
Yay, so Game Pass!
I took advantage of that. It was kind of funny because I had played it quite a bit on Xbox initially, and so when I started it on the PC, I was like, oh, but I should do better. And then I was like, wait, I don't have any of my upgrades. Like that sweet, sweet lantern that has saved me. Oh,
nothing carries
times.
Over between the two?
Nope. So I had to build in and, you know, build up and start all over again. But
Do they at least have separate achievement lists?
They do. Yeah.
Okay.
They do.
That's
so
good.
So, you know, it was like, well, at least I felt that like I was accomplishing things. And then even still, I managed to get, I think it was my second run. I was like on level 2 already. And I was like, oh, I didn't do it near that fast on the Xbox. So I am down. At least I am doing considerably better. So yeah, there's a lot involved with learning the timing of things and learning the proper time to dodge. I love all the animations when you actually dodge bullets. Like you can go flying across, the covers that's there for you. The they're basically just like big stones and shit in the way, kind of like tables, and like you can slide across them, but the way that they have the character like roll and flip over them when he's being shot at and it goes all slow motion, it's so cool, and you feel like the ultimate badass. I don't think we're gonna be surprised with my rating here.
No, but you didn't mention one of my favorite parts of the game.
What's that?
The visuals.
I did. I said it looked fucking incredible.
Oh. I must have been zoned out then.
You don't see how you pay attention to me. I understand.
I pay attention to you like you guys pay attention to me when I read the spiel at the beginning.
Who are you again?
Exactly. But yeah, I'm sorry that I didn't pay attention to you saying it, but yeah, I fucking love the visuals in this game.
So
it is
cool.
Such a beautiful game. And mixed with Ron Perlman's voice act. I wish they had more voice actors in the game. It seems like they spent all their money on him. And then they're like, should we get any other voice actors? Nah, make everyone else mute.
Joe just copied what I said when I streamed it. I said the exact same thing. I was like, they put all their money into Ron Perlman. And everybody else was like, well.
Someone had to say it. All right. Well, $20 on West of Dead. What's your verdict?
Absolute buy it. I granted it's hard and it's not going to be something that's for everybody. And if you already know that, like, that kind of difficult game where you're going to be dying and dying and dying and dying and dying just to make a one room extra of progress the next run is going to, like, if that's not your shit, just go ahead and accept that now.
Yeah.
But if you're willing to really to dig into it and learn it and get your muscle memory intact for it, then you're going to have a good time.
Carnage says, I'm a twin stick shooter fan and I'm not totally sold on it yet. Why is that? I'm interested to hear why you're not completely sold on it.
I have a theory.
What's your theory?
I have a theory. It's because it's a slower shooter, because especially with like the shotguns and the rifles, you have to like pull the trigger once or twice and then wait a 2 to 4 seconds to reload. And you can't just like hold it down and hammer the button and plow things down. You really got to think about your shots and yeah.
Can't go in guns blazing. I'm too fucking impatient.
That really makes sense.
Yeah, this is definitely a slower, more methodical game.
Yeah. You got to, like I said, that muscle memory is vital. And if your muscle memory is just hammer it, you're fucked already.
All right. Well, since we talked about West of Dead, let's stay in the West with Hard West Ultimate Edition, developed by Creative Forge Games and Forever Entertainment, published by Forever Entertainment, released June 19th on Xbox One for $19.99. Welcome to the Wild West as you've never seen it before. Follow Warren on his descent into the darkest recesses of the human soul and try to survive in a world full of hard choices and even harder consequences, because in this world, death is a constant presence, and the black pacts which you make with the forces beyond human comprehension will forever haunt all those around you. Cole, this sounds interesting. What is it?
I'm going to be really honest when it comes to Hard West. I was initially a little hesitant to take it, because there's tactical combat involved here. And I don't mean like, oh, think about where you're going to go before you go in guns blazing. I mean full on like XCOM Mutant Year Zero type of combat, where you have a character on a grid and you got to move around.
Yeah, I'll admit, you caught me by surprise when you said, yeah, I'll take it.
I got a little punked, because it was like, oh yeah, there's card battling elements. And I was like, so I was starting to think, oh, it's kind of Children of Zodiacs, where, yeah, you move around on that grid, but you're battling with cards, except for that wasn't correct either. I had a whole lot of no, I'm very wrong involved here. And let me tell you something though. If for all my being wrong about what this game was, if it weren't for the fact that West of Dead came out this week as well, this would have been my favorite game of the week.
Oh,
I was so thrown off and surprised. And yet somehow I had an absolute blast with Hard West. So when you go into it, you choose a scenario. If you're playing the campaign, the scenarios plot out. You have one that you start off with called Hard Times that sets the stage for the future acts. And then at that point, it's kind of like a branching tree. Eventually you can play all of them if you want, but then you get to play, you know, in a little more of a varied order and get different bits of the story. I'm going to not go into the story though, because even just telling you the events of Hard Times is like immediately spoiler territory. Like the whole game is shot if you already know what happens within just the first few minutes of Hard Times.
Okay, and so we're not going to talk story at all.
No, because I was sitting there playing it. I was like, fuck, am I supposed to talk about this without ruining everything immediately? Because I had some super cool reactions and I'm like, I can't ruin that for other people. What the fuck would be wrong with me? So I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. Just know from the story that it's impressive. I was shocked and impressed, and I think it's worth your time. For actual gameplay mechanics, like I said, you choose your campaign. Your campaign sets up the storyline, and you have a couple of different genre types being mashed up in here. So when you first start off, you have like a map, a flat 2D map, and you're represented as a token on the map. You can move your token around to different areas that get pointed out for you through various storytelling mechanics. So the more you get into the story, the more places you have that you can go visit and create more story points. So it branches off based on where you go, the order you go, things like that. The choices you make have consequences, and some areas may not be available to you if you behave certain ways in other areas. When you choose a location, you get a text box, and it will set up, again, part of the plot point. So I can tell this without giving away anything. For part of the story, you are a minor. Not a minor as in a child, but, well, also that. But anyway, you are a minor in both sense, because you're a gold miner. And so you have a mining license, you have a set number of licenses, and you're going around finding different places that you can mine. So you click on one, and it'll give you options like, oh, do you want to rinse it with a pan, or do you want to use some more unconditional methods that might get you more gold, or might damage your tools. So you have these choices that you can go on and make, and you are gradually earning more money through the mining, but that has another consequence, and you have to think of that consequence as you're going, which can eventually lead to you being in combat situations. So once you're in combat, it changes from that 2D map with the dialogue boxes giving you options to a 3D grid. Now, before you start with going into combat, you generally know I'm going into a combat scenario. And so you can take some time. You can go through your items. You can equip out your party, whoever is with you. Sometimes you will have multiple characters. Sometimes you only have one. Depends on where you are in the story, what's going on in the narrative, and if you fucked around and gotten people killed. which you should try not to do in general, but it's going to happen because it is. But if you lose somebody in combat, that carries over to other parts of the game. Although combat will typically have a scenario where certain people have to stay alive or you fail and have to do it again. Or there will be other scenarios, but again, I don't want to get spoilery, so we're going to let those fly and just, they're there. Yeah. when you're in combat, you have two turns that you can take. So you can either do two items from your item bar, or you can do, like one movement and one item from your item bar, or you can do two movements. Or when I said that there's like a card battling element, but I was punked by it, you do unlock cards and you can use them, but when you use them, it's not actually during the combat so much as it's you equip it to the character before they go into combat, and then whatever that card allows you to do, say, if it allows you to heal the people in your party that are within a certain proximity, then it shows up on that action bar at the bottom. So if you're in combat, you've got your two actions. You move closer to your crew and use that heal, and it heals out for them. And that's your two actions, and it swaps to the next character. You can't use that one anymore until after the enemies have had a turn. So that's
Doc Havoc, when you use those cards, Windows decides to update and immediately restart your system.
Probably. I was playing on Xbox, though. So not as often does it update. But it may also just decide it's hot and want to turn off. So who knows? Shit could happen. So you have to go into these combat scenarios and really think about, okay, you know, how am I going to use the two turns that I have? How you have to consider your health and using health items and reloading your weapon as well as your movement. And then the enemies are making moves around you as well. There's three combat difficulties, and you actually get to pick the difficulty of the combat before it starts with the scenario. So you're not like thrown into, if you play the first scenario and you did it on normal and you're like, fuck, that was really hard, and you do the next one, you can dynamically swap it down to easy and be a little more okay. There's also other modifiers. There's only two at this time, but one is like an Iron Man system. Again, it makes it a little easier. And then I forget what the other one is because I avoid anything that makes it hard. I like to survive with as many of my people as possible. I don't want to make it any more challenging if I have to.
I can sympathize.
Yeah. I do want to point out, too, I'm trying to speed run this, but there's a lot to talk about with this because it is such a mashup of so many genres. But I want to point out, too, that this is the Ultimate Edition. It has all the DLC. So you're getting the whole story on Xbox, and you're not having to piece out and be like, oh, no, I finished the campaign. Do I have to wait for DLC? No, it's already there. It's all there. You can get the whole game in one package.
Yay.
Yeah.
So for that package, $20, what are your thoughts?
I think it's a steal, and I really was shocked that I had such a good time with it. If tactical grid combat is your thing, you're not listening to me. You're already playing Hard West.
Yeah.
Because it is definitely suitable for players like that. But if you're a little more on the fence and like, I don't know if I really like tactical grid combat, there's so much going on, and it's easy enough if you set it down to the lower difficulties that you can learn pretty quickly and be doing okay. I think that it's story-wise, it's a very hard story to choke down, and it pulls no punches. But gameplay, I think it's definitely easy enough that pretty much anybody could kind of pick it up and go.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Destrobots, developed and published by 7 Levels, released June 18th on the Switch for $9.99. Destrobots is an easy-to-play, hard-to-master top-down shooter that will make every party a blast. 3 core actions of move, spin, shoot make for an explosive combination that ensures every match is fast-paced, challenging, and fun. Sharpen your reflexes so you can dance between enemy laser beams, land your own shots, and grab that sweet victory. Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, this is what she's got to say. Hey there, SML friends and family, it's Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Destrobots for the Nintendo Switch. Developed by 7 Levels and is a top-down brawler where you control your chosen robot to inflict all sorts of mayhem using your robot blaster or with your tried-and-true robot hands. Let's get on to the review. Destrobots has 2 main modes that you can play on. We have the Versus mode and the Horde mode. With Versus mode, you can get up to 4 players going, and Joy-Con mode is supported. Unfortunately, there are no bots in this mode, so humans only. This means I couldn't really delve into Versus that much, but hey, it's a brawler. Shoot and punch until there's a winner. Easy sauce. In Horde mode, it's you against 10 waves of robot baddies that want nothing more than to reduce you to the bunch of disassembled parts. With the Horde mode, you only have access to one map, but as you complete each map, you unlock other maps to play on. With every 3rd Horde mode completed, you can also unlock a new robot hero, and that's pretty cool. There are 10 levels of Horde, so 3 additional robots total. Not too shabby. Gameplay time. Honestly, the gameplay is a bit of a mess. It sounds easy enough. Move your robot with the sticks, use your buttons to shoot your blaster, use L and R buttons to do melee or block attack, except the blaster is awful. See, each button corresponds with the direction, so if you press A, your blaster shoots east. Pressing B makes your blaster shoot south. And this is regardless of which direction you're facing. This is a pain in the butt. A further pain is the fact that you do have the ability to shoot omnidirectional, but you have to press the 2 buttons closest to each other simultaneously in order to make that happen. Bleh. Plus, your robot zooms along quite quickly, almost to the point of unwieldy. This thing's got a hell of a slide, and it must be mitigated. Still, all isn't lost. I felt the power-ups for your blaster were quite nice. You can grab quick fire, triple shot, laser, which is the best, and a shield, which allows you to absorb damage once. With the exception of the shield, your special shots are on a timer, so be aware of that. The shield is important because one hit and you're scrap and you get to start over. I always tried to make sure that I had 1 or 2 available. To be completely honest, I rarely use my blaster to dispatch enemies. Because of the slide and the duration of your melee spin, I mostly punched enemies to death, which was satisfying enough for me. While the combat was slightly pedestrian, the visuals in the game are mind-blowing. They are crisp, clear, and amazing. There's an opening cinematic where I was like, wow, look at what this little thing can do. Also, the level design is interesting and immaculate. The environments almost come alive. Even the different robot designs were intricate. Each little robot had its own look, flair, and flavor. This is easily the cleanest game I've played on the Switch so far. Everything just fits so well, and it was a treat for my eyeballs. Destrobot is on sale right now for $9.99, it's available for $9.99, is on sale for $7.99 via digital download. Not sure how long that sale goes, so if you're interested, I guess pay attention and jump on it sooner than later. But should you buy this one, I say it's a solid try. It good for families with younger kids for sure. For adults, it probably doesn't have much to keep you interested for long, but it has a very nice look to it, if a bit awkward to play. All right. That one sounds interesting. I do love my horde modes.
Yeah.
Horde is always good. Next game to talk about is called The Almost Gone, developed by Happy Volcano, published by Playdigious, and No Time for Games just dropped 500 biddies. No Time. Thank you so much. George, take it away.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
And then Carnage comes in with five.
That's the most Carnage thing ever.
It was like 500 biddies, and Carnage is like, pennies. Carnage is the guy who throws quarters at the strippers in strip clubs. Like, he saves up his 50-cent pieces, and he takes them to the strip club for the really pretty ones. But yeah, The Almost Gone, developed by Happy Volcano, published by Playdigious, released June 25th on the Switch and Steam for $14.99. Experience the intricate dioramas and connections of your life and the ripples we all make in this award-winning narrative puzzle game about death, loss, and mental health. Cole, what is The Almost Gone?
I don't know. I didn't play this game, but you know who did?
Who?
Number one.
Really?
And she's sitting here beside me. I didn't play specifically because she wanted to handle the review.
Okay,
she asked
then
to do this again. So I'm going to pass the headphones and the mic to her, and I'm just going to scoot aside and let her do her thing.
Okay.
Here you go. Oops. I'm breaking my stuff.
Breaking everything.
I didn't do it this time.
Get closer. Get closer. There you go. Get in there, child.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am good.
How's The Almost Gone? Tell us about this game.
The Almost Gone is a nice little puzzler game. It has a very dark story to it as well, but it's really nice. I didn't get really far with it, though, because I got stuck at this one part. I think it's possibly with a glitch within the Switch version of it.
Interesting. What happened?
So you have to, at this one part, I got stuck at the lock, and I figured out what the combination is and everything. I just couldn't do anything. So I looked up the solution to it, and I did it correct, but nothing was happening. So, and it said to tap anywhere to enter the church, but I tried, and you can't really do anything on the Switch.
Okay, but how's the rest of the game?
So, anyway, so other than that, the game itself is pretty fun. There's multiple puzzles, and it tells you, it's an indirect story, basically.
In what way? What do you mean by that?
Wet pancakes!
It doesn't tell you the story directly.
Okay.
Like a little visual novel.
You pick it up from the environment.
Yeah, from the environment, you pick it up.
Tell your mom to get closer so that when she screams when she screams instructions at you, the microphone picks her up and we could laugh at her. So what else? Tell us more about this game. How are the visuals?
It's very nice. It looks very nice. It's colorful. Very colorful. Pastel. But there are times where it gets really dark. There is about five acts is what it's called, really. Like chapters almost.
Okay.
So they're about, depends on how good you're with puzzles. And for me, it took about at least 45 minutes for each one, for how far I got.
Up until the game just broke on you.
Yeah. So.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So, any positives, negatives, anything besides this glitch? Any negatives with the game that you want to address?
No, it's actually pretty nice. Other than that one glitch, and it's really fun to play.
Cool. It sounds like it's a really good time. So, for $15, what is your verdict on this one?
I'd say buy it. It's pretty worth it if you like these type of games.
Works for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it is always good having you on doing reviews. We're going to have to get you back again sometime. Your mom needs to just buy a second microphone and second headset so you two could just do this together without her, like, lording over your shoulder. Like, you will obey me.
I don't know what you're saying, but I don't like it based on the look. You're in my head.
Get out of here. Abuse.
Abuse. Oh my lord. So you didn't play it at all?
I actually fibbed, but I just wanted to I didn't play the Switch version of it because I'm grossly averse to touching the Switch. I don't know, there's something about it. But I did do the free demo that's available on Steam. And I think everybody should.
Anything that you wanted to add that she didn't mention? Which, by the way, Rootbeer donated 300 biddies for number one taking over your job.
So, drop it, bitch!
I've been fired. Number one is back forever. But no, from my perspective, it is an isometric puzzle game. The narrative, like Evelyn was saying, is indirect.
You said her name. Uh-oh.
It's harder to call her number one when she's sitting beside me. But don't worry, nobody listens. Nobody heard that anyway.
Yeah, it's true. No one listens.
But so it's an isometric puzzler. The narrative is told indirectly. It deals with a lot of dark topics like death and mental health. So those are things that you need to be aware of when you are picking it up. The color palette, considering how dark and moody the content of the game is, the color palette for it all is super pastel and very pretty, and it's very relaxing. You almost kind of get lost in the world before you realize that you're like, ouch, my feels.
You realize it's a little girl.
Yeah, it's all surrounding a little girl, and that can, you know, if you've got daughters like me, it makes the story a little harder to swallow.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, definitely
to put it out there, it is only T-rated, so it's not like there's grisly murders or horrific violent stuff.
And I think, though, that's, I like that juxtaposition in games like these where they mix the dark, heavy topics with a more saccharine, candy-like aesthetic. I think it's a really interesting combination when games do that, and I enjoy it personally. Most of the gameplay is point and click and just solving the puzzles. And as you solve them, you get to go from room to room and you're exploring the world. Each room is just kind of presented on like a floating island type of situation. And you'll have little like zoom in icons that you can see extra details on. And it's not necessarily an aesthetic we haven't seen before, but also one that I can't quite put my finger on as to another game I've played that's similar either.
Yeah.
It definitely stands out on its own and holds its own weight. So, yeah,
I dig the style of the game.
Yeah, I wish we had gotten a Steam version because I absolutely would have finished playing it. So I'm going to have to put it on my wish list and pick it up when I get the chance.
Cool. Well, based on your time with the demo, what are your thoughts on the game?
I'd give it an absolute buy it. I mean, I'm clearly thinking of buy it even though we have it on the Switch because I don't want to play it on the Switch.
Just play the goddamn Switch. Jesus Christ.
Just don't want to. Stop trying to control my gaming habits. Don't gatekeep me.
God damn you.
I do what I want. But I want to, yeah, I'm going to pick it up on Steam. So if I'm willing to reach out and pick it up on Steam even, because it's not on Xbox, then, you know, anybody else can easily pick it up too. And I think you should. If you enjoy puzzlers, if you enjoy the you know, heavier topic narratives, then yeah. You're gonna enjoy it.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Next game is called Octonaut, developed by Joseph Calabro. I probably butchered it. Sorry. And East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released June 24th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $6.99. The world has been taken over by an alien invasion. On the eve of destruction, humanity calls out for help. Octonaut is a retro shoot 'em up inspired by 16-bit classics. Save the world from alien invasion by shooting and dodging your way through 8 action-packed levels with sinister bosses. Collect a variety of power-ups, including lasers, bowling balls, and ninja stars to take down enemies and defend the planet. Cole, what is Octonaut?
I forgot I played this game. Wow. Like, as soon as you said it, I had to stop and go, what was it? That's terrible and it sounds bad. But it's more of a case of, it's one of those kind of, like, little easy peasy pixel art-ish shmups that you just pick up and shoot through for a couple hours and then you're done and you forget about it. It's not bad for what it is, but it doesn't, like, shake up your world enough that you're going to be playing it for days.
We've seen a number of these coming from East Asia Soft lately, and I'm not mad at them. Like, yeah, go ahead.
They're generally solid enough for being shmups. They're not, you know, shaking up the genre or anything. They're not going to leave a lasting impression. You're not going to look back on them nostalgically in 20 years.
No, but after you spend... Yeah, after you spend 2 hours murdering people grisly in The Last of Us 2, sometimes you just need a little palate cleanser and you're a little octopus who shoots things.
And I think, realistically, Octonaut does a good job of being that. I forget what I was playing, then I was just like, I need a break. And I started playing Octonaut, and everything was so bright and colorful. And it might have been West of Dead. I was doing bad in West of Dead, and I stopped. And I played Octonaut because that's how it goes. You know, it was bright. It was colorful. It was easy to play. I didn't need a tutorial. I just held the button and carried on and I was happy about it.
Yep.
Sometimes that's just what you're looking for. You know, that's just what you need.
Yeah. Can't be mad at it.
And I think Octonaut very, very much so holds it down in that regard. I did have some issues with the game. There are some levels, especially the later levels, that basically they're designed in such a way that you have no choice but to take damage. I hate that shit. I don't think that is good level design. In a lot of cases with Rattalaika and East Asia Soft type games of this type, you're normally not going to make it that far anyway. Because you're going to get the completion and be like, whatever, I'm done. But I was trying to have some standards and I was trying to play through the game properly, like a person who paid $5 for the game would pay to play it. I was really frustrated when I get to the last couple of levels and realize that it's outwardly designed with intent to make it to where it just fucks you over. Most of the game up to that point is like float around as an octopus and shoot shit. I don't know why the octopus is in space. Okay. And I don't know why the octopus is fighting some kind of water dragon. I don't know. It's a shark, isn't it? Is it a shark or a dragon? Sometimes it looks like a dragon. Sometimes it looks like a shark. I don't fucking know what it is, but it's in the water. You're fighting it. At least that one makes sense because an octopus should be in the water as well, too. But for everything else, it's a little more like, okay, it's just kind of weird and I'm enjoying it for what it is. But when it gets to the part where the scenes are moving to the point that you don't have any choice but to be squished and move on, then you realize why they give you 1,000 armor to start with. Because you don't have any choice but to just let the scene move.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, sit down with it for an hour and be like, yeah, this is good. And not be upset. Rubier is upset. Shmups are made for high scores, not stupid achievements. Not Octonaut. It doesn't even have a scoreboard, I don't think. No, wait, that's not true. There is a scoreboard. I don't know if it saves your score. But it does have score because the enemies drop gems. And if you shoot the gem, it changes colors. And if you shoot it 5 times, then it turns violet. And if you pick up so many of those, you get an achievement. And that's all that matters about it. So
You and your achievements. Oh, man. $7 on Octonaut. What are your thoughts?
I'm willing to give it a try. Like I said, those later levels, if you're actually picking it up for more than just achievements and you care about the integrity of a shmup, those later levels are some bullshit. And they did turn me off of the game in a way that the earlier levels had hooked me in. It was just like it flipped a switch. And I was like, God damn it, why'd they do this? But other than that, I had a good time.
Good to hear. All right. Well, we got to get Dark Mika in here because she's got some games to talk about. So let's dial her up and see if she joins. I mean, I did give her a heads up that she was next.
She don't give a shit.
She doesn't.
I need a drink.
Look at this shit. Like, I'm calling. Mm-hmm. I'm calling. It says calling. Dark Mika is on fire. Just calling and waiting and waiting. It's about time. Are you here? Sure. Are you here?
Yeah. Yeah, I was here when you were waiting.
No, there was a nice stretch before there where you weren't here.
I know that. Well,
I know. It's okay, though. You're here now, and that's what matters.
Are we sure? Are we sure that really matters? Because
no, it doesn't.
Okay, that's what I was thinking.
All right, well, next game to talk about is called Pamela, developed and published by NVYVE Studios. Released June 18th on Steam for $24.99, explore, fight, and survive as an awakened sleeper in a fallen utopian city ravaged by a horrific disease. With an array of high-tech weapons, highly immersive UI, full body awareness, and much more, Pamela delivers an intense and unforgiving survival experience. Aki, tell us about Pamela.
That is about the crux of the story. I cannot tell you any more about it because I barely got anywhere in the actual story.
Jeez.
Yeah, the game is extremely hard to do. You're expected to die over and over and over. And when you die, all your experience that you got carries over. So you continually level up. I decided, because I was getting real tired of dying and not getting anywhere in the game, I decided to cheat and just, you know, give myself enough points to max out my character. I still died constantly. Even with a fully maxed out character, I still got killed so much, and it hurts my soul. I barely got anywhere in that game. I was like, it's very beautiful, though. The combat is obscenely hard, but it's very nice to look at. I will give it that. It's not only that combat is extremely hard and you die very easily that made it hard for me to get anywhere story-wise. It's open world in the sense that you're on this floating city that's in the middle of the ocean floating around. You have full access to that entire city, like the moment you wake up in the game. You have full access. You can go wherever the fuck you want, which means that you can go not where you're supposed to go. And you're guided by this AI that runs the city. You're trying to help her fix the city, basically. But the map you have is kind of, what's the term? Dog shit. Yes, that's the term. It's fucking terrible. And this AI keeps saying, okay, go this area. It's like, this map shows me like less than I can see just looking down the fucking hallway. So, and it doesn't have the names of anything fucking listed on it. So I'm like, I don't know where the fuck this is. I have just woken up. I don't know the fucking city. Why are you telling me go to this place? I don't know where that fucking is. And I couldn't find anywhere where it was actually listed to go to X place. So you just kind of have to remember it, which gets really hard when you've gotten lost and like 4 or 5 hours later you die and you're like, I have no idea where the fuck I went or where I'm supposed to go. It's all gibberish to me. Because, like, I woke up, I got in a robot, because robots patrol to keep the peace, and a robot caught me stealing, trying to hack a lock. I would have succeeded, too, if it weren't for that robot. Anyways, and he put me in, I guess, a jail thing, and a completely different part of the ship. I never found my way back to where I was, and when I died, I could not find that place again, and the placement of all the items, of the enemies, of the robots, all of that changes every time you wake up. Matter of fact, it changes even if you leave the area and go far enough away into a different part of the ship and come back, it'll change as well. The enemies all kind of reminded me of Splicers from Bioshock, which was really cool. Their bodies are really twisted and mangled thanks to this virus of some sort that has hit the city that you're not affected by because you've been in cryosleep. So they're really interesting. Some of them are still humanoid, but most of them are like these zombie-esque splicer things. The normal people are much, much harder to kill because they use guns, and fuck them and fuck guns. It's such a pain in the ass. It talked about how you get really advanced weaponry and stuff to fight with. Kind of. I mean, most of your melee stuff is like, oh, here's a boxing glove, but it has electricity and it's made out of metal. I don't really find that super, you know.
That's some Dead Rising shit there.
Yeah. It's like, oh, here's this metal gauntlet, but it has a force field around it. Okay, the force field, fine. That's kind of technologically advanced. Otherwise, you're wearing a fucking metal glove. That's medieval shit. You can also get ranged weapons. You always can have one of each equipped on you at any given time. The range weapons have a tendency to be shit like surgical lasers and things like that. They're just lasers. That's really it. You get utilities for everything. They can give you all sorts of other extra abilities. There's one for each of the two weapons that you get. And there's a whole slew of different ones you can get. But there's a slot for each weapon. And there's one that's just passive for your character as well. You can find body armor on rare occasions. I found two in the, like, 15, 16 deaths. I found two. However, if you start finding armor, you're going to find a full set before too long. So there's at least that benefit. You'll find each piece one at a time, but you will eventually find all three. It's just, if you don't find one, you're not going to, probably. You're just fucked. There's a building mechanic that I didn't really get too far into because I didn't fully understand it from its tutorials, but you can apparently build like barriers and stuff to prevent enemies from getting to you. You can put down places to store stuff, a bedroll, things like that. Just so you have a place to stay. I don't really know how to work any of that. It didn't make very much sense to me because it just popped up this very small little tutorial that was like one line long and then it was over. That's how most of the tutorials are.
It seems like the game could use with a little more, I don't want to say hand-holding, but just instruction on stuff.
Yeah, honestly, I would go for a lot of hand-holding for this one. It's so complex. Like, there's four different types of fucking upgrades for the game, which
that's
is
a lot.
Three. Yeah, that's three too many, as far as I'm concerned. There's the main ones, which I talked about earlier. Every time you wake up, you keep the experience from your previous life. Those are genome upgrades, which are permanent. The other ones don't seem to be. There's utility upgrades. There's weapon upgrades, and then there's your arm upgrades. The arm is basically your pause menu. You're wearing this metal gauntlet because, again, futuristic always relies on medieval weaponry. So you're wearing this arm guard, basically, that when you put push pause, it shows you the screen of stuff in a radial circle that goes around your arm, which is really cool looking. It's also, again, the whole game, everything about it is fucking gorgeous. But you flip between that to get to your different menus that you want to get into, be it your inventory or what have you. And you get upgrades for that. I never found any. but eventually, like some of the first ones are, because it only really let me look at the first two, you could do this thing that caused kind of like a ground pound. It would send a shockwave out to knock enemies away from you. Or you could also get something that popped up the AI who would run down a line basically to show you where you're supposed to go. If I had gotten that upgrade, my life would have been a little easier.
but you didn't.
No, not really. Oh, so there's four upgrades, which is three too many. I think the genome upgrades, that's good. I mean, there's just so many upgrades, and they have stores where you can buy like healing items and weapons and stuff, but none of the shops actually tell you what the item is that you're buying. They just expect you to know what it is by looking at the picture, which doesn't help because you're just starting the fucking game.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a lot of problems with the game currently. It still needs a lot of work.
Well, as it stands, they're asking $25 for it. What do you say?
I'm going to go with a pass at this time, just because it's just too hard and there's too much stuff to try and keep track of, but you don't know where anything is or what anything is for that matter. They need a lot more hand-holding and better tutorials in it. And then maybe I'd be more like, it's a try it. But right now I'm going to have to say it's a pass.
So add some tutorials, maybe simplify things a bit, and it might be a winner. But as it stands, it's just stay on the sidelines and wait.
Yeah.
All right.
It is a beautiful game, though. I cannot mention that enough. I loved it. It, like, remember when Hellblade came out and everyone's like, oh, this is a beautiful game. Yeah, this makes that look kind of meh.
Well, we got one final game to talk about tonight, and that is called Hentai Mosaic Puzzle, developed and published by Lil Hentai Games, released December 2018 on Steam for 99 cents. Relaxing puzzle-solving experience with elements of RPG, beautiful girls, 30 unique rotating mosaic puzzles. We said we were going to tackle their entire catalog from Lil Hentai Games, and this is the second one. This is their first game. What do you think of this one?
Remember last time when I said there are certain ones that I don't like, and both of y'all were like, that's bullshit. Well, this is the kind that I don't particularly care for. all the images are static. There's nothing really to it. You just flip them around, flip the puzzle pieces around until you get to see the girl. They do talk to you kind of while you're solving it, but it's all kind of weird, semi creepy shit. Like, oh, I like how you turn those tiles and stuff like that. And it's like, that's
hold on, fucking Cole. I want you to say that line.
What was the line?
I like how you turn those tiles.
Yeah, I like how you turn those tiles.
You have to say it seductively, though, like an anime girl.
No.
Well, there's no voices in the game, so...
I like how you turn those tiles, big boy.
Oh, I'm hanging up. Goodbye.
You said shit like that in it, too. Oh, God. The upgrades are very similar to what they were in the previous game that I talked about, which thankfully seems to go throughout all the games. This one, you don't level up quite as much, which take that as a positive or a negative. I don't know.
Well, we got to remember, this game is like almost 2 years old. This is their very first game. So a lot of those quality of life improvements just aren't going to be there in these earlier games.
Yeah. I will say, however, the drawings of the girls are they're pretty good quality. They're very pretty.
Which is what's important in a game like this.
Yes. If you like tattooed girls, there you go. Because, yeah, they really like tattoos on their girls in these games. So, yeah, the music is, it exists, I guess. I don't pay a lot of attention to that stuff. The upgrades are pretty much the same upgrades that you got. There's a handful of other ones in this one, but they're not particularly useful. The ones that they've kept throughout all the games are the useful ones. So this was, they just had a whole bunch of things, and they found what stuck, and they've been apparently been cutting the rest of the stuff that didn't out as they've continued. So that's good, but this one's rough.
Well, as it stands, only a dollar. What do you think?
Yeah, if you like Mosaic games, this would probably be for you regardless, because most of them are like this. They're static pictures. So, yeah, I think this is for a dollar. Fuck yeah, it's fine. It'll waste a couple of hours of your time easily. So,
which is all you need with a hentai game, right? Just waste some time, see some titties, and everything's good.
Exactly, and you do see titties, and titties are good.
Titties are good. Right, Cole? Titties are good.
Yeah, they're fine. Not as good as dick.
Well, Cole's delusional. They're fantastic.
Oh, my God. Anyway, that is it for this episode. We made it through another one. Thank God this one was kind of on the shorter side. Music, we're going to play more Blind. I've been having fun playing some Blind on the past couple of episodes, so I'm going to play some more. And anyone have any final words to end the show?
Ooh la la.
That's what we're ending the show with. Ooh la la.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.